It's great to have with us Margot Davis, the Mayor of Glenennis, and Bernard Smith, the General Manager. All right, can we move on to the next reasonably big one, is the item 7.4 on page 18, the draft long-term financial plan. So that's basically confirming the 21.5% general rate increase this year and 12 next year and 9 the year after. But the other thing, it's recognising views from people in the villages, Deepwater and Emmaville, with a $200,000 provision to lift the amenity of those, which is quite important. What's important to the villages is important to the whole district.
Yeah, absolutely. And the draft long-term financial plan is the 10-year plan, so you get pretty confident in the numbers for the first 3 or 4 years, and then it becomes, you know, projected. Mm. And so that's why it's updated every year as well. So the SRV, as approved by IPART, is baked into that long-term financial plan, as is a lot of other initiatives to try and reach financial sustainability, which is basically not just about the SRV. It is also about improving the way we do business, increasing efficiencies, creating more productivity. And, of course, with the new finance system coming in as well, we will be able to look at every single service that we deliver, look at every business unit and try and make additional savings within our budget, noting that since we came to office, we have reduced the deficit from around $6 million down to $3.4 million. So we're already on that pathway, but this long-term financial plan really is how we're going to achieve financial sustainability, which the Office of Local Government need us to do. Okay. Couple of things on this. A mayoral minute that I put up around financial sustainability phase two, I was calling it, organisational transformation and performance. And that mayoral minute was adopted by the majority of councillors to support the successful implementation of council's long-term financial plan, operational plan, and all the other associated financial sustainability initiatives that we are looking to do. What we were asking for here, or what I was asking for here, is just some a roadmap to make sure that all of those initiatives collectively were clear as councillors how and when they happen. So that was endorsed. And then also in the long-term financial plan, I put up an amendment which was successful, which was asking for us to work even harder. And I do acknowledge how tough this might be, but in the long-term financial plan, we're basically getting back to a balanced budget or a surplus at the moment by 2930. My amendment put up was that we want to try and aim to bring that back a year. So in the next year, in the next review of the long-term financial plan, that's the target. That's the new target, is to pull that surplus position back from 2930 to 2829.
Okay. All right. Obviously, there can be impacts of all of those decisions, and they need transparency, and the people need to know
absolutely what's happening. And I think this council has been more transparent than any previous council with the amount of communication we're putting forward, with the vast amount of consultation that we did last year on the SRV. IPART did their own consultation. It's very important that we have a pathway and a plan to financial sustainability. The Office of Local Government, the Minister of Local Government, they need that assurance that we're putting things back on track. And I feel like at the moment, that is exactly what we're doing. We have to make hard decisions. They're unpopular decisions, but they're decisions that are responsible.
If I could, just opening on that specific topic, the identification of the rural rates, general rate, considers over 1,000 rural ratepayers, but in fact there's over 1,000 assessments, and the actual farms are something like 500. So the figure that's gone through council and to IPART, that assessment of the current rate, I think it's about 3,500 general rate, it would be double that for the average farmland, and the increase, of course, would be double what's envisaged. Now, I pointed that over the years, it's nothing short of fact. Moving on, the Local Government Remuneration Tribunal, something that just gives the individual councils a range of provision of fees to councils and mayor, and that was resolved, Margot?
Yes, that each year an independent tribunal determines the amount by which the councillors and mayor's remuneration can be increased. And for the 26-27 year, there is an increase of, I think it's 3.7%. So as has been the practice over many, many recent years, that's the fee which council adopted.
So that's the upper end of those.
Yes, I think all councils adopt the upper end. I think it's got to be, there is a lot of discussion in local government at the moment about the level of that remuneration, the requirements, the onus put on councillors and the mayor has increased enormously, and I see it firsthand. And I think, yes, there is a really strong move that that be reviewed. The mayor receives an additional fee of $31,000, which is really at times almost a full-time job.
I understand.
Yeah, I think it's important for people to understand what councillors get paid as well. So councillor fee is $14,450. Mm-hmm. And then the mayor, as the general manager said, gets an additional $31,510. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of work that goes into being mayor and being an active strategic leader as mayor. And I understand that while on the surface it's a pay rise, it's really very below what other employees of council and certainly other awards have got. And I know that the Shads Award, for instance, has an increase of 4.75%. So while I get that it's an increase, it's an annual increase that happens, that council has always resolved the maximum amount, as does other councils. And it really is, not a grand remuneration for the amount of work that goes into being mayor.
I understand the workload from a lot of years of experience. And, of course, in those years, that figure was much, much lower. Moving on to the very important one, the risk management policy, and it'll be on exhibition from the 22nd of this month through until the 20th of July. Any comments on that?
I think just very briefly, council has in place an audit risk improvement committee. That committee has a role in this, but it really, what it is about the council and the organisation being very much aware of the concept of risk, being aware of how to apply it. You know, we are a public authority spending public funds. You know, you should not always be totally risk averse, but we obviously need to be very cautious and take a considered approach in everything we do when it comes to what sort of risk levels we want to tolerate.
An interesting aspect is the ability of the general public to enlighten council of potential risks. That is there.
This is more a general corporate statement, I suppose, which is sending signals about how we assess situations and how we should apply.
It's just that the first person who sees a risk should have got a duty of care anyway, regardless.
That
should be passed
but
on to
this
council.
Is more about how council make decisions and what the risk appetite is for councillors making those decisions and the organisation as well. For example, with financial sustainability, we wouldn't want, we would want that to be, have a very low appetite for financial sustainability risk because it's very, very important. Whereas our risk profile might be a little bit less so if we're talking about, other strategic decisions. So it really does set a framework around when we are making decisions, how that risk level should be applied to those each type of decision. So it is an important way to inform councillors of how they make decisions.
Okay, let's move on. The quarterly borrowings report, it's at this point in time, or at the end of last month it would be, Just under 13.5 million. Obviously, some loans, that's in total, all funds, some loans would not have been taken up in full at this stage. So it's really a monitoring program.
Yes, that's correct. And I think it's important to note too that we have external loans which support our cash flow. So in effect, that money is also reflected in our investments report as well.
Yes, and we did cover that topic at the last interview, the investment report. Now the final one, item 7.1 on page 43, the draft CCTV asset protection policy, and I take it the issue of community safety, obviously it overlaps into that area and it's potentially beneficial.
Yes, this is now on, will be on public exhibition for the community to have their say from the 22nd of June to the 20th of July. So we encourage the community to have a look at that strategy and provide their feedback.
Right. It's, I would think it's probably not much additional to add. And these days with the types of events we're seeing all over, eventually they happen in our patch, and the more we can lessen that probability, the better.
Yeah, and we've obviously installed a lot of CCTV along the main street, and we also do that, and this is particularly for council assets as well. Mm-hmm. We don't want to see damage to council assets. That costs money, so it's important that we have this approach for community and council.
Okay, fine. Well, that about covers all of our topics. Is there anything less? I know your time is relatively tight.
If this goes out before Saturday, we have the School of Arts and Music opening this Saturday from 10 to 4, so please come along to that. And I also want to congratulate Liz Wormsley from the Town Hall Coffee Shop. Her lease was extended, unanimously supported by council, so congratulations, Liz.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you both for coming in this morning.
Great.
Thank you.